The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing and righteousness, justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Amen. We need wisdom and its benefits, because no one likes feeling foolish, and definitely no one likes being called a fool. We need wisdom and its benefits for reasons like this. If you are a very loving person, but not a wise person, you'll end up harming persons that you're caring for, even though you have the best of intentions. Like an overindulgent dad who wants to be his kid's friend instead of his parent, and because the dad's been loving, but not wise, his son will grow up being ill-equipped to face the rest of life. We need love delivered in a wise way. Or how about this? If you're very courageous about speaking truth to others, but not wise in the way that you do it, you'll blunder badly. Of course, you'll get the facts on the table and you'll get your story out there, but you will have infuriated or filleted the person that you're talking at because you failed to be the wise in the way which you delivered your words. We need truth spoken at a wise time. We need wisdom and its benefits. And if you aren't wise with your mobile phone and the digital life that it accesses, you'll end up using this remarkable little bit of technology to stroke your own ego and broadcast your personal stupidity to the entire world. You've seen it happen. We actually need God's wisdom to keep us from our foolish selves. So you see, the wisdom of God isn't some sort of app that you can add to your life to make things more enjoyable or efficient. Wisdom isn't supplemental, it's something essential. We need God's wisdom to enable us to flourish in life. So let's get together, let's get going here in our pursuit of wisdom. And in doing so, I just have three simple points for these opening verses. If you're a note-taking type, here's what you might like to write down. 3 points. Number one, what wisdom is. Number two, who needs wisdom. And number three, how to get wisdom. First of all, we begin with what wisdom is. And the answer to this is in verses 2 and 3, where we're given two explanations for what wisdom is. First of all, in verse 2, we see this, that wisdom, it's attaining wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Now, if your grammar teacher was anything like my grammar teacher, she would not like the fact that you use wisdom as a way of defining the word wisdom. That's what we have in verse 2, but she'll have to take it up with Solomon because that's what he did here. The basic meaning of the word wisdom as it's being used here is referring to skill in living. Skill in living. This it may be the actual hands of a skillful woodsman, or it could be the apt ability of a person to lead an organization, or the peculiar insight that someone has in being a counselor to others. Wisdom is skill in living. Or as Ray Orland put it, he said, wisdom is skill, expertise, competence that understands how life really works, how to achieve successful and even beautiful results. It's actually something that a person grows into over time through instruction. That's, look at verse 2. It's the second half that we have in verse 2. Wisdom is attained through instruction. So a person may have sort of natural inclinations to work with their hands or to lead well or to listen well. But deeper growth happens only in the person in a wise way as they receive instruction and tutelage from someone else. You see, the reason that there are so few people who are actually wise is because very few of us receive instruction or correction very well. By nature, we're stubborn and proud people. I mean, just think about it. For instance, when someone brings up a topic to you and says, oh, did you know about so-and-so or such-and-such a thing? What do? You go, oh, yeah, I knew about that. But it's a bold-faced lie, even if you didn't know what they were talking about, because you said that you knew what they were talking about. You wanted to appear wise and in the know, because no one likes the feeling of not being the smartest person or the most cultured person in the conversation. By nature, we're stubborn and proud people, and we don't like feeling foolish because it offends the inflated view of ourselves. That's why there's so few wise people in the world, because we don't receive instruction or correction very well. Very few of us are willing to say, I actually don't know, but will you help me? But those who are teachable will make progress along the path of wisdom. It comes to us through instruction. As one theologian put it, Proverbs will step on your toes, but in doing so will discipline you and keep your feet in the right path when you walk in their light. It's a great word picture, isn't it? When we receive wisdom humbly and readily, we then are able to, as the second half of verse 2 puts it, we are able to understand words of insight. As we grow older, as we mature, we'll begin to see things that we once overlooked. We'll grasp what others have difficulty understanding. You could almost say that there's something Sherlock Holmesian about wisdom. You know, he has those incredible observation skills to see what so many others miss. He can size up a person and a situation with keen understanding. But of course, at least the most recent presentation of Sherlock Holmes through the BBC presents Sherlock as a bit of a know-it-all. He's rude and precocious. So I suppose he's not perhaps the ideal illustration. But there is something that we see in him that we want to have too. The skill to see how life really works. The ability to unravel the mysteries of humanity. The capacity to provide answers where others have questions. Actually, the more I thought about it, I think actually Watson is probably the picture of the wise one. After all, he's the one always asking questions, paying attention carefully, willing to work under the assumption that he doesn't know it all. That's what a wise person does. That's what wisdom is. It's attaining, gaining wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Now, secondly, we see in verse 3 that wisdom is learning to deal in ways that are right, just, and fair. Right, just, and fair. This shows us that growing in wisdom isn't just for your own personal benefit, not just a self-improvement project or something that you've gained so that you can add it to your resume and say, ooh, look what I've done. No, the attainment of wisdom is intended to see you mature into a person that is able to relate well to others. The wise person is being trained to treat others in a way that is right, just, and fair. You could say then that there's an ethical dimension to wisdom, because wisdom is the knowledge of good and evil. A wise person can tell the difference between right and wrong in the situations in which they find themselves because God's word has equipped them to do so. And as we learn to deal in ways that are right, just, and fair, those that you, for instance, work with or those that you work for will actually flourish from your wise dealings as you grow up into these things. I mean, think about it. Who would you prefer to be around? Someone who is ruthlessly ambitious, or someone who is reasonable, sincere, and impartial. The remarkable things, friends, and the video alluded to it so well, is that we're facing the fact and the reminder that God's ways are actually really, really good ways. That the dimensions of life that the Bible sets out for us are lovely ones. Because communities that are populated with people who are living in a way that's right, just, and fair are infinitely more desirable than those places that are broken by greed, mistrust, and scandal. Wisdom is beautiful. It sets us on the path that God meant life to be. The attainment of wisdom is intended to see you mature into a person that is able to relate well to others, because now you are reflecting the character of God in your earthly relationships. That's point number one, what wisdom is. It's attaining wisdom, instruction, and understanding. It's learning to deal in ways that are right, just, and fair. And now secondly, who needs wisdom? Who needs wisdom? Well, we see in verses 4 through 6 that it's both the simple and the wise. The simple and the wise. First of all, the simple, verse 4, to give prudence to the simple. The idea in this word isn't about those with a limited mental capacity, but the simple are those who are immature and untaught. As one commentator put it, the simple ones are gullible and usually believe the most recent thing that they've heard. That's pretty good, isn't it? Inexperience and youthfulness often go hand in hand. That's why Solomon is so concerned with parents teaching their children right and wrong. Proverbs tells those of us who are parents or are grandparents that it's our task to instruct our children in wisdom. To take those moments when your kids are with you and say, can I do that with you? And you know they'll just make a total mess or they'll make it more difficult for you to pause and say, yeah, let me spend time with you and patiently walk you through these things. That's the task at hand. Because those who are young and those who are inexperienced need to acquire the ability to perceive what's going on, how to make the best decisions, and to avoid the bad scenarios. It's the simple who need instruction. And then secondly, it's the wise who need it too. Verse 5, let the wise hear and increase in learning. As the old wise man himself, Matthew Henry, put it, this book not only makes the foolish wise, but the wise better. So basically, Proverbs is for all of us. Whatever our age, whatever our life circumstances, whatever our education is, whatever it may be, the book is for us. You may think to yourself, well, I'm not simple. I'm actually quite mature at this point in life. Well, that's okay. You may already be walking along the paths of God's ways, but you actually need more wisdom. There's an older pastor that I used to serve with, and this is one of his favorite lines. He used to say, the older I get, the less I know. I don't think he said it with that sort of twang. It just came out that way. But he was an Italian from Cleveland. The older I get, the less I know. Because the wise person doesn't actually know it all. The wise person is actually aware of how little they seem to really know. We can always be adding to our learning and understanding. There's no age in which we can retire from the pursuit of wisdom. In fact, actually, with God's help, the older we get and the more we grow, the more skillful we'll be in handling more complex people and situations. So let's review the opening verses. We've discovered that studying the book of Proverbs enables a person to know how to be skillful in life and to receive the knowledge of God's better ways. Wisdom gives what the simple need and increases what the wise already have. That's what Solomon is starting to tell us about wisdom. And then lastly and thirdly, he tells us how to get wisdom. How to get wisdom. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. How do you get wisdom? By fearing or having reverent trust in the Lord. In other words, biblical wisdom begins with a right relationship with God. The wise person believes that there is a God, that he's the creator of all things, and that he's put within his creation a divine order that, when followed, leads to a flourishing life. Solomon is actually telling us that everything we do in life is to be done with reverent trust in the Lord. Everything that we do, our eating, our working, our Netflixing, our parenting, our dating, our schooling, our neighboring, our exercise, and our spending. Every second of our day in life is to be governed by God. The only way to be a wise person is to reverently trust the Lord with everything you do in your day and week. There's no off time. Everything matters before the Lord. If you aren't wise in this way, then according to verse 7, you are actually a fool. There's only two categories that are presented to us, the wise one and the foolish one. Foolishness is doing what is right in your own eyes instead of doing what God has actually revealed. Do you revere God in this way? Think about your life and think about the past week. Are you going to look to the Lord in reverent trust? Or do you trust yourself and no one else? If we don't look up to God in awe and fear, then my friend Proverbs tells us that we are fools. We're fixated on ourselves. We're looking down on others, when in fact, if we looked up, we would be awed at what we see. C.S. Lewis put it so wonderfully. He said, "In God, you come up against something which is in every respect immeasurably superior to yourself. Unless you know God as that, and therefore know yourself as nothing in comparison, you do not know God at all. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people, and of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you." But the message of the Bible is this, is that if you will bow yourself down before God and know yourself as nothing in comparison to him, turning away from your foolishness, your pride, the scriptures actually tells us that God will come immediately to you and transform you from being a fool into someone who is wise. Someone who, when God begins to do these things, you'll be able to see life as it's meant to be, because what will happen is that God the Father will give you insight to understand the wisdom of his Son. We have to read the book of Proverbs both forward in anticipation of Jesus and then backwards in view of who Jesus is and what he's done. Because when we do it that way, we'll begin to discover that the book of Proverbs actually connects us to the Lord Jesus. And God, if you will turn to him and ask for his help, will allow you to see, by lifting up your head, the Lord Jesus. And what we discover about the Lord Jesus is this: he himself said that he is greater and that has more wisdom than even Solomon himself. I actually wonder if Lewis had those things in mind when he was talking about the superior nature of God. He said, "In God, you come up against something which is in every respect immeasurably superior to yourself." Jesus Christ is superior to Solomon. Jesus is greater, wiser, and more humble than you and me. He's who the prophet Isaiah would one day said would come. Isaiah, written centuries before Jesus would come, but in anticipation of his arrival, in view of wisdom and wiseness, the prophet said this about the Messiah who would one day come. Isaiah 11, verse 2. "And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord." Do you see what it tells us? It tells us this, is that Isaiah anticipated one who would actually operate and fulfill life perfectly in view of the fear of the Lord. And the one who fulfills life perfectly in fear of the Lord is actually the one who becomes the truly wise one. And the one who's truly the wise one is the wisest person to ever live, because Jesus managed to do those things without fault and failure. So what it's telling us is this, is that Jesus is actually the truly wise man. And what did this wise man do? He gave up his own life to save fools from their folly. He's the one person who feared the Lord for all of his life. Do you remember what he said? Even unto his dying breath. What is the fear of the Lord? His reverent trust in the Lord. What does he say in his dying breath, even as the hours are coming out upon his crucifixion? He says, he looks up to the Father in prayer. He says, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done." On the night of his betrayal, he cried out in prayer, "I'm so overwhelmed with what tomorrow will bring, Father, but I'm trusting you. I'm scared, but I lay my life down for you." And of course, you know how the story goes. Jesus reverently trusted in the Father's will, and in the end, the Father raised him up in glory and delight. And if you will bow your head in reverent trust before Jesus, do you know what will happen? He will fill your heart with profound awe of him, and he will begin to grow you in a wise way. The fool, the wise one. May we walk in the fear of the Lord. May we delight in the knowledge of the Lord. That's where we're headed, the book of Proverbs.